This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. There's an interesting article up right now on ESPN, and I know a lot of the happenings of the sports day have had to do with free agency, and if anything happens, we will definitely let you know in the midst of it. But it's essentially 5 years ago today where the NBA announced that Rudy Gobert had COVID, and then just everything started shutting down. So what I really want to know is, because I was on vacation at this time and doing stuff with Brandon and everything, because it was going to be our last vacation before the wedding and all of that. But Corey, I know you were on. I know Mike was on. I would love anyone's recollections. And from the 214, the company I'd worked for had provided a contest, and a grand prize was Mavericks tickets. The area manager sent the email and didn't send the tickets. So I was a little happy when they canceled that game.
Gotcha.
So I just want to know, it could be sports-wise, it could be whatever-wise, but I remember Brandon was on spring break. We went to a movie theater in McKinney and saw, oh, that movie where the dad is dead, but they have the thing where it can like bring him back to life to have a chat with him or something like that, and they only bring him back halfway, and wacky shenanigans ensue for like half the movie. Somebody's going to know the name of that movie.
Oh, the with the purple guys? Onward.
There you go.
Beat me to it.
Well done. And so
I almost said upward, and I was like, no.
We went into a movie theater and we were like, hey, what have y'all been busy the last couple of days? And they're like, almost nobody. And so then when I was listening to you and Mike, you're just like, breaking news, cancellation. So I was hoping that you could walk us back through that and anybody else that wants to share their story, because it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, we had another producer in there, and luckily he showed up to work that day. I remember being, we had that week before it all happened, I had to MC an event for Avery's school, Avery and Carter and Lucy's elementary school, where I was helping auction prizes. And so, and that was really fun. It was a really fun event. We purchased a party for 20 at a wine place. That wine place is now closed, and I still have that certificate, and I was never able to use it. Actually, as a matter of fact, I believe I was also for emceeing it.
Oh, wow.
I was given another like gift certificate to another wine place.
Wow.
And we have never been able to use that either. So there was some significant money spent by people that never got to use their thing. This, I remember coming in that day and being like, man, this Rudy Gobert thing, because the Mavericks game had, you know, they were kind of having that discussion.
And I don't know if you want any perspective from Adam Silver, but he's quoted heavily in this, and he said they started having meetings about it in early January. And then Adam Silver said his wife made fun of him because he started stocking up on toilet paper in February. So the commissioner, if you're like, they're just like us, the commissioner of the NBA, Corey, was stocking up on toilet paper, and Adam Silver's wife said, you're being an alarmist. And then you move forward, and it was 2 days before Rudy Gobert did the bit where he coughed and touched all the microphones and recordings and everything like that. And then it was the three words that I feel like set what you're about to talk about in motion. He's got it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were talking about that, and we're asking the question about what the effects are going to be from that. And that was, you know, that was a big part of the day. Then I think in the second segment, we see that the ACC tournament has gone ahead and they're not going to do their competition. From there on, every conference championship started shutting down. Then you started seeing that college football spring games were in question. Then you started seeing that the NCAA tournament is in question.
Yeah.
And so that, like, it was the most extreme day. Everything we had planned for segments went out the window. An entire 4 hours of show went right out the window because all of sports stopped. And everybody had a what's happening. That's what everybody wanted to know, what is happening. And that's what was happening on the fan text too, was there was a lot of people. There were a lot of people that were like, can you tell me the new news on this? Because every time we came back from a break, something new had happened.
Were you amazed in the breaks?
Yes.
When it was just like more.
Yes. And by the end of it, I mean, I was exhausted. It was an exhausting show. And Kevin, you know how those, when breaking news is happening like that all day,
yeah,
you know how tiring it can really get because you're amped up. You're amped up from the adrenaline that goes and goes with it. And I got home that day and I went, Adrian, everything's about to change. At least for a little while. And I remember when we were heading out to spring training, I was telling you and Mike, I was like, hey man, this is something we might want to keep an eye on. And we were like, it was kind of one of those, but let's just keep an eye on it. And then it really did happen. But that day specifically, I was right here in the studio just watching as the fan text started taking part too. The fan text started texting in. They were like, hey, guess what? Just heard this. And it was a busy, busy day, man.
From the 940, I was in line at the Houston Stock Show, they was doing some stuff with the heifers, the cows, and I watched as the world closed. It was surreal. Now, this one's going to hurt your feelings a little bit. From the 940, my memory of that time, we still had Luca. That is fair. From the 972, my mom was in the hospital with a brain injury. It was my turn to be in the hospital, and my brother was at that Mavs game the day the season was canceled. The one I remember, Mark Cuban's reaction
was the biggest deal.
Yes, yes. That is because it was kind of a really or a what?
Yeah.
Because the word was just kind of buzzing throughout is that like, hey, they just canceled this game. And then like quickly it got to them as they're probably about to cancel your game. But you're right. I remember vividly him being like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that was the GIF. And it still exists. Like, people still use it for big time reaction moments. But yeah, that was definitely one from the 719. My all expenses paid Alaskan cruise got canceled, but I didn't get to go on it 4 years later.
So my wife and I, we were going to go to Hawaii for our honeymoon, and that didn't end up happening, and that's still the one state in the United States that I've never been to. From the 469, I was at my aunt's house for a birthday dinner, and me and my cousin were watching the Mavs game when all the news broke, and we were just as shocked as anyone. And I remember selfishly, because like you want to see your sports teams, and when y'all said that the ACC tournament got canceled, I was like, oh man, Duke is terrible this year. That's the only chance they had to make it into the NCAA tournament. It is. But that's before I realized, I think, the complete gravity of the situation. And I was hoping they would get some sort of special COVID entrance into the tournament. And then, of course, which makes no sense. Guess what? They canceled all the conference tournaments. You think all of a sudden in 4 days, everything is going to be fixed and they're going to do the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, dude.
No. Oh. And so before I knew how serious everything was, I was like, oh man, how are we supposed to make the tournament? And then you're like, hey, also all of these people are dying and everything. And you're like, oh, so it's about to be like different for real.
Yeah, that was different was definitely, that's a very interesting way to put that.
And I will say the ensuing probably, what was it, like 4 months? Because I know we were in different variations of stay at home and everything like that for some people up to like a year and a half. But some sports came back, but for 4 months, there was no sports. And most of our segments were just like fun bar question talks, or they were segments about like, hey, here's this latest thing that got canceled. Do you think it's going to be back in 2 weeks? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
And so like your segments were, I know you think it's going to come back then, but probably not.
Yeah.
From the 903, I remember driving in the mountains to Red River and listening through an app. Mike was joking about no sports. So then he talked about camping. And y'all would just teach people how to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Since there was nothing else to talk about. Alec?
So yeah, I do. That's right. Because he was saying, in order to stay away from everybody, you just need to go off into the forest somewhere. And you're going to have to learn how to be a camper.
So Mike, see,
that's his extreme.
I wasn't there for that day, but I can 100% see a segment where Mike talks about how we're all going to have to learn to camp because we're all going to have to be spread out from one another to be able to survive.
Yep, that's exactly how it went down too.
From the 469, and I'm fascinated by this as well. I was working at Kroger, and there were lines from the front to the frozen food section. And that's one of the things, like Adam Silver, he talked about in this article that his wife said he was overreacting because of that. And I've got some other quotes from like NBA players, if you're interested in that well. So Mike Connolly was with the Jazz then. He goes, initially when we got off the plane, we knew Gobert was sick and we were all joking like, man, he probably has COVID. And then you found out that day. Donovan Mitchell, I only noticed Gobert was really sick because we sit next to each other on the bus and the plane, right next to each other. And after that, I didn't see him the rest of the trip because what happened is they pulled him off of the team plane as soon as they tested him and found out, uh-oh, this could be a thing. And so it went from, I knew he did a bit the night before, to that next morning, he was pulled off the team plane. And then that next day is when everybody found out that he had COVID. And I know this is not fair, and it happened long before Rudy Gobert, but I kind of still, in my mind, think of Rudy Gobert as being the reason that COVID spread. I know that that is not based in any scientific evidence or whatever, but does anybody else kind of think Rudy Gobert would have been jacking around? Maybe we'd have kept our sports.
He is the poster child. People. Like, he is the one that we all, like, that broke everything. He probably got a very unfair thing thrust upon him when there were probably other people that already had it that didn't know. And I think it was, though, because it was because of the thing with the microphones, obviously.
Yes.
But
Rudy's
also
just doing a bit.
But also people just kind of hate Rudy Gobert. So I think they were like, you know what? This just adds to our Rudy hate. So that makes sense.
From the 254.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Corey, I was listening. Actually, at those moments, I was driving around listening to y'all, and I started hearing all of the cancellations.
Yeah.
This is...
I wish at that time I had better answers for what the solution would be, but nobody did at the time.
Absolutely. From Jordan Clarkson, he goes, I remember at the brunch after shoot-around, our coaches and the training staff and our medical staff were all at one table in deep talks. And we were all like, yo, what's going on? Because we were scared. The information we got from the team was like, oh, yeah, we're going to get you tested and stuff. Dude. And so they didn't give answers to their team either.
You said deep talks.
Yes.
I will be very honest. The deepest talks I can ever remember in my life were after 9/11. And
okay, yeah.
Sitting around with friends and having those conversations about what the state of the world was. And like, those were the deepest conversations I can remember. And that's pretty interesting because similar kind of thing happened during this time period. And it does seem like anything that affects the world in that way really does bring a lot of like, hey, what do we do here?
And you think about while you were trying to learn things that were going on in the moment, let's go to
not trying to cause panic.
Yes, for sure. And think about this. So Golden State Warriors president Rick Welts had a meeting with the San Francisco mayor. He said his pitch was, let's just get through this one game tomorrow.
Makes sense.
And then we'll see what happened. And the mayor looked at him and she was just like, I can't. And he said, what do you mean you can't? And she goes, you can't play the game. And if you do try to play the game, there will be no fans in the building. And so even at that point, like city governmental leaders were learning about it and everything like that. But you're trying to provide info that even the guy that runs the Warriors didn't understand at that time what was going on. The players that were on the Jazz with Rudy Gobert, they literally didn't know what was going on. So I imagine it was an exhausting set of days, but especially that day. I was fascinated by when y'all were just every segment cancel.
Yeah, from the 214, I remember everyone was losing their mind during quarantine. But for me, antisocial loner hermit, I was used to being in one room for an extended periods of time.
See, I get for some people it was probably great. Alec, did you have a school moment or anything like that that you're like, oh, crap?
So it was right before spring break for us, right? It was my second semester of my freshman year of college. And our English professor, she was like, hey, I've got some people in the healthcare industry and stuff. I might not see y'all again. So just be ready for that. And she warned us. She was like, I think we're about to have a whole different world. And I think I was in the middle of a Target whenever we got like the whole cancellation started, whatever.
Okay.
I was going to buy a Nintendo Switch. And so like,
I was
over the moon. I was like, yeah, I'd saved up. You know, I had just started here at the Fan. So I was like, I saved up a few paychecks. Let's go, celebrate a little bit. And lo and behold, I get back in the car and I hear Corey and Mike saying, yeah, the world's over.
You weren't creating panic then.
Is me and Mike the Rudy Gobert of this whole thing? Is we were the ones breaking the
Yeah, look, I sat next to Mike when one play in, he told me the Cowboys were going to lose a playoff game. I could see how the second anybody got this, he's like, we're done.
We're done.
I remember.
It was a good run, humans.
Yeah, I remember who was ahead of the curve for me was Evan Grant. Because at spring training, we were finishing up and saying bye and everything. And I went to shake Evan Grant's hand and he like did the elbow thing and he goes, COVID. And I was like, And like, I thought it was ridiculous. But within 2 weeks, everything was shut down from the 469. I was working at NBC news station in my college town. I took off for spring break and missed one of the biggest news days in 100 years from the 817. Me and my wife had floor tickets to WrestleMania 36 before it got canceled. Good thing was that my wife told me she was pregnant that day. We were able to use the refunded money to go buy all of the stuff that we needed for the baby.
Wow, man. Wow.
I wonder if you ever look at that kid and you're like, that could have been WrestleMania. Not
no,
the kid, but like
no.
The blanket and stuff like that.
Maybe.
And then from the 817, man, Kevin, you're not there a lot. Especially this is the first week that I've been here on like NFL free agency and spring break in forever. So I always take off and go on a trip with Brandon. So I miss that ginormous news as well. For the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, after signing Javonte Williams and Solomon Thomas, which positions would you still like to see the Cowboys fill before the NFL draft? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
12th play of the drive. Wilson gets rid of it for the touchdown to Javonte Williams.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm curious from y'all's perspective. You signed Javonte Williams, the Cowboys did, and Solomon Thomas. Which positions would you still like to see the Cowboys fill before the NFL draft? And then I have some more info about Javonte Williams if you want to get into that to start.
Okay. Which one do you want to do? You want to get into the Javonte Williams stuff to start, as you said?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
So David Moore, so you know this is what the Cowboys think, said that Javonte Williams is regarded as a comparable talent to Rico Dowdle. And
I agree.
More cost effective. When you look at
Dowdle's it. Dowdle's going to make six and he's make 3.5.
Yeah, I really do want to see what Dowdle ends up making. Because if he ends up making the same as Javonte, I think that was a mistake.
Okay.
But for Javonte Williams, he was the worst running back that the Broncos had this season. He had 23% of his runs were stuffed for no gains. You saw a sub-4 carry average, which has been mostly the story of his... Well, it has been the story of his career post-injury. But as a backup, I don't have a problem with this move whatsoever. Now, this ends up being the move, and they're like, Rico is going to be our starter. Now, Javonte Williams is our starter. Then I think that's a terrible idea. But I saw a lot of people upset about the move yesterday, and I think it's just going to be part of... probably a draft project where that draft pick will quickly surpass Javonte as the starter and we'll go from there.
I will say this last year, Denver was not good running the ball just in general. Like they tried to go with Jaleel McLaughlin as their one of their, you know, change of pace guys. He's not a bruiser by any means. He wasn't great. Austin Estime got most of the carries late in the season. Javonte Williams, I watched a lot of Broncos because I was keeping an eye on Bo Nix and Cortland Sutton, obviously, because I had Sutton on my fantasy team. So I was just kind of watching. I had Javonte Williams, too, late. I picked him up, and I was like, why not? But he wasn't producing. And I was like, why? And he did. It seemed like he'd get to the line and got 2 yards. And you were like, oh, I have no clue how much of that is on the offensive line. His career, you've seen it reduce, as you said, since the injury. But the offensive line just didn't appear like it was, you know, creating big holes for him. The Cowboys' offensive line, he can be a good goal line back for you. There are some other things that I think he can do. Dowdle had more once he got through the offensive line. He had a couple moves and he had the ability to break away. That was something that I think whoever they pick up in the draft is. I think they're going to expect them to carry more of the load.
And I'm with you on that. So I'm okay with just staying with what you got at running back. if for, okay, quick one more question. I'm sorry. I thought it was okay, but then I convinced myself to not be okay with it. If for some reason Rico Dowdle's like, I will come back for the same Javonte Williams contract, and those are the two running backs you go with, and you don't really draft a running back, would that infuriate you? Or would you be like, eh, that's all right?
Only $6 million spent at the position?
True.
I'd probably be all right with it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, quite honestly, it gives me more picks to work with. I mean, this is a very deep running back draft, so I still think, like, is the talent level high enough? But if I can use those picks on something else right now and develop some other positions that could be helpful to running back, then I'd like to do that too.
Now, which other positions would you like to see the Cowboys attempt to fill before the draft? Because I realize, and I heard Jerry's like, hey, we can fill those holes in the draft, and hopefully that all comes true. But you've still got some money to play with. If you choose, what positions would you like to see them go after?
I'm curious what they are doing at safety. Okay. Because at the moment, it looks like Malik Hooker, Marquise Bell, Donovan Wilson, Wanye Thomas. Is that we're comfortable with that?
You think they think Bell's about to take a step up then?
Maybe so. Okay. Maybe so there. So I'm curious kind of what they're doing there. Obviously, the cornerback position, there are some names missing. And how ready do you think Diggs is going to be? Do you think he's completely ready to go?
No.
I oftentimes have questions about him. Are they bringing back Mukwamu? If they're bringing back Mukwamu, like, that's a guy who has flexibility at a lot of different positions that helps fill the role. That's what I think the Cowboys would do. Most companies do that, right? They're just like, well, we have a guy that works here. He could just do the job, this person's job for less.
Right.
So we'll just have him do the work. Defensive tackle depth is important right now, because right now you have Mazi and Osa and Solomon Thomas and Ernest Brown. So Carlos Watkins, Carlos Watkins is a free agent. Linval Joseph is a free agent. Justin Rogers is on the team. Your depth there is lacking.
Yeah.
I love that you brought in Osa or brought back Osa. I like that Solomon Thomas is a body you can put in there for Osa. But I still think either bring back Linval, or you have your eye on a big, beefy character in the draft right now. But I would still like to add a piece in there. The defensive line, Carl Lawson, still, like, you got Sam Williams and Micah. What are you doing with that backup? Did they bring Tyrus Wheat? I think they brought Tyrus Wheat back.
Is so still here.
I liked him. He was fun.
From the 4-3-2, I would still like a running back before the draft. All right, fair enough. From the 8-1-7, linebacker and nickel. That way we can keep Bland on the outside. From the 8-1-7, I appreciate the consistency. It's not a position. It's just linebacker Jack Sanborn. I'm manifesting it until it happens.
I appreciate it. I do agree with this person from the 314. Those two backs won't make defenses respect the run. Extra dudes out there to cause problems for receivers for Dak. And that also definitely depends on the commitment from Schottenheimer's run game. If they're like, hey, we're going to run the ball, and then they say, we run it on first downs. And then we're trying to get Dak to throw. Backup quarterback is also a weird position right now, Kevin, but they said they're going to draft somebody.
Do we throw punter in there then?
I'll wait.
You think we're going
to? I'll wait. I see that there are a lot of big punter deals happening right now,
man.
The world. I think Denver's punter just got a pretty significant deal. I don't know.
It's because they couldn't run the ball, so they always have to punt.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, we better give our punter
money. Yeah, they're either punting because they can't run, or Cortland Sutton's catching a touchdown pass from Bo Nix.
So I've seen a lot of opinions on the Frankel injury attorney text line. And yes, I saw a couple for general manager and president. I get you on that. From the 214 wide receiver, from another 214 linebacker and corner. For me, corner, linebacker, and defensive tackle were the three that I immediately thought about. You've already chopped up the defensive tackle and why that's an issue, and linebacker as well. That's not to say that you wouldn't draft any of these people, but I would, if there's bigger name players out there, great, if you can actually make it work. But I would like some more B-level free agents at some of these positions to maybe kind of flesh out your team, where you're like, I could see that player starting, but then you would still be in a position where if you didn't want them to start, you're thinking, that's a damn good backup. Then you could go draft that position. Because unfortunately, the last 2 years with guard and defensive line, it feels like the Cowboys have maybe made a bit of a reach on their pick, or with tackle and defensive line. And they've made a reach on their pick because they're like, hey, I really need this person to play this particular position.
You don't believe in Matt Letzko, right?
No, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't. Is that that's okay? That's, to
I mean,
say,
that's
right?
a name. Yeah, Robert Jones. So Robert Jones is a backup offensive lineman. Like that, he is a backup offensive lineman from the Dolphins. Had a lot of snaps. The numbers we saw, Kevin, 62nd in pass block efficiency and 62nd in run block efficiency, and that's out of 64. So this is a very typical Cowboys signing. Is that, hey, look, we're not asking him to come and replace a starter. We're asking him to be a backup as a just-in-case guy. And if we have to get to him, we're in trouble. Like, that's what upsets me, is, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to say, if we get to this guy, we're in trouble. I want to say, if we get to this guy, you're in as much trouble as you were with our starter. That's how I like to build a team. So, in the middle of that offensive line, yeah, there's still some stuff missing because your backup center is Brock Hoffman. And he's your starting guard?
Yeah. It's weird. I think I feel okay with that because of the position flex, where I'm like, does that mean that you take a flyer on somebody in the sixth or seventh round that plays center? Does that mean you take a look at somebody who you think could challenge Hoffman for the guard position? I like those options and that position flex on the offensive line because it gives you the ability to do a couple of other things.
I'm interested in what Awesome Richards, you know, what his growth is, if he does grow a little bit within in this team. But then I guess receivers definitely another position to look at, because not all those pieces am I excited about right now.
And this is weird because I know most people don't think of him as a receiver, but more the returner from the 817. Do we know what's going on with Turpin? So remember, the Cowboys, I think, feel pretty comfortable with what they did there. They put the second round tender on him. So if another team wanted to snag him away, they would give up their second round pick to the Dallas Cowboys. So I think the Cowboys are in a position where they're like, he'll be back. And if he's not back, we get another premium draft pick. So I think we're going to be okay with that. That would be my guess on that point.
Yeah.
From the 469, a legit ball hawking free safety, a linebacker and a second receiver, a legit ball hawking free safety. You can maybe jot that down with a defensive tackle over the years as something that maybe the Cowboys,
they just don't value as much as we do.
I want to make it clear, 469. I don't disagree with you on that. It just feels like the Cowboys have let us know either way.
Yeah, I think I take it back to Matt Johnson. Is that, you know, when I was
is
like,
is that the guy who played on the red field?
Yeah, and we were like, dude, this guy, because he, I don't think he ever really got to play because of his body. But when he was on the field in the Big Sky Conference, he was amazing. But that was like, that's how far back I go when I'm just like, I loved the safety depth they had while Dan Quinn was here. It's just then they said, well, we're going to use that safety depth as linebackers. And we were like, well, that's not going to work all the time. So they have a lot of work to do there. And I agree with the people who are saying linebacker position, it's a weak draft class there on top of the fact that the names have been flying off the board for linebacker because everybody knows that it's not that strong of a class. There might be a couple guys that you can really say, all right, I'd like to have that pick, but it's not as strong as you'd want it to be.
I think even with the moves the Cowboys have made, even though we haven't seen how like some of that salary is going to break down with like Solomon Thomas, for example, I still think you're in a position where you have low to mid $40 million available in cap money if you choose to go that direction. Now, you're not going to get it all the way down to zero because clearly you still have to sign your draft picks and stuff. And I know that the Cowboys like to save up all that money for the practice squad. But you have a usable chunk of money that is sitting there, and I'll be curious to see if they actually use it or not, or if they're like, hey, don't forget, Alec, that carries over. So don't you forget that. So they're going to be like, hey, next year, we're going to carry over all that money, and then, oh, you watch out. But remember that starting at 3:00 tomorrow, I do believe, free agents can officially sign.
From the 214, sign Evan Engram, Dak's favorite type of receiver. If by that you mean he doesn't catch all the balls thrown in his direction and he's going to be missing from injuries and headaches most of the time, you're right.
Yeah.
I cannot rely on Evan Engram. I just can't.
That might be a segment if you want to throw it out right now, or maybe a segment for another day. Who is the NFL player that, whether the stats back it up or not, you just believe will always miss games? Because Evan Engram is pretty high up on that list, and you might be like, hey, 2 years ago he played all the games, and I hear you on that. But, like, he just strikes me as the person I'm like, he's going to miss a whole bunch of games.
Yeah, and there's going to be a pass that he drops that you're like, that was the one you got paid for, dude.
Yes, and there was 1 year, a couple of years ago, where Christian McCaffrey was healthy, and I was like, ooh, can he break the stigma? And then this past year, we went right back to it, and I was like, man, that kid is so freaking amazing, but he gets hurt all of the time. So I'll be curious, if you want to throw that out there, who are your NFL players, whether the facts back you up or not, that you just assume are always going to be hurt, they're going to miss a whole bunch of time, or whatever the case might be. And then I saw a Tolo Trucker saying that he's been listening to sports radio in Denver today, how dare you, and that they are not upset about losing Javonte Williams. I get it. That doesn't surprise me at all. They invested a second round pick in him. I'm sure they are frustrated that after that first year, he went nowhere. Cowboys are investing $3 to $3.5 million on him to be a backup. So different levels of investment. I don't think he's going to be the starter.
The 5-6-1, truly, I'd love for the Cowboys to draft Milroe, Dart, or Ewers in that order. I disagree with the order.
Because Dart wouldn't be available.
I would probably take Dart a little higher than Milroe. But those would be fun. Those would be fun additions to the backup part of this. And that would create what, Kevin?
Competition.
Well, not real. Conversation.
Okay, sorry. I have to do the Stephen Jones air quotes for that.
Yeah.
Competition.
Yeah.
Move on.
Okay, fair enough, McCarthy. So, I would never envision an actual quarterback competition, but it would be interesting to see whether it's Milroe or Dart or Ewers out there, and you're like, hey, I don't know, this kid looks pretty good out there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to a little bit more college basketball in just a second, but the question I had for you guys before that is, do you like the idea that the future FBI agents or current FBI agents might be training with UFC fighters?
Like they are training the UFC fighters from?
Oh, man, that would be wild. No, that UFC fighters have said, that Dana White said that they could get involved in helping further train some FBI agents. Now, I know Dana White is a promoter, and he likes to say all kinds of fantastical things. But he said after the pay-per-view this weekend, he was dead serious about UFC folks training FBI agents. And so Newsweek has been tracking this down by emailing the UFC and the Department of Justice, which oversees the FBI, to determine if this could actually happen. Corey, would you like to see the UFC and UFC fighters training, to a certain extent, FBI agents?
I currently already believe that anybody in that kind of service can already beat up a UFC fighter.
Ooh.
Like, and this, maybe this is like just blind understanding of it all, but I've always felt that their training is to de-escalate and to, you know, get that person. Like, my buddy was a MP in the Air Force. You know, that was his job, was the drunk guys come in from being out for the night, and he has to kind of keep an eye on them, and sometimes he has to take them down and then say, guys, you got to run in the morning. You need to hurry up. Anyway, like, I've always just assumed that the best agents are all Jason Bournes, and we just don't know about it. And maybe that's my fault.
You might be right.
I just always assume that every single show I watch, except for The Night Manager, they're super skilled at some sort of hand-to-hand combat. It's like, how did they get these skills? Go watch The Recruit. The dude's supposed to be a lawyer. And he's like, I'm beating everybody's butts out of here.
But there's an FBI like office division, right? Where all they do is fill out paperwork.
Yes,
and they don't
because
have
I do know some FBI agents.
Oh,
we recently met a couple that is in the FBI. They're both of them are, but they are analysts. So
are they a couple that are assassins and then they accidentally cross paths on the same?
They only told us that they're analysts.
Okay.
I don't know any more than that. So yeah, there is that part of it too. But I just assume if you're carrying one of those badges around, you can whoop somebody's butts.
Yeah, probably not the best idea if you see an FBI agent to be like, I would like to challenge you to a fight for a variety of reasons, even if you think you're going to win. Probably not a good idea.
What do you think, though, that they can learn? What can they learn from UFC fighters?
I was going to say some of the more unique variations of choke techniques.
Okay.
And I think could be useful.
And that being said, the experience that UFC fighters have in fighting is like they've been in more fights than you have. That's just plain and simple. They're trained in more situations and how to get those out of those situations or get you into a situation than most of us are.
And from a nonpartisan standpoint, Dana White and President Trump are friends. So it's not like it would be terribly difficult to get this going. By the way, we asked for your NFL player that whether the facts back it up or not, you think is always injured. Christian McCaffrey, a lot of votes for Dak Prescott. From the 903, I know he retired, but Tony Romo will always be hurt to me. From the 682, Anthony Richardson. And so a lot of different names coming in to start that.
Dude, can I?
Sure.
I just saw this from Adam Schefter. The Niners traded Debo.
Yep.
Juszczyk is cut.
Yep.
Leonard Floyd cut.
They got rid of all the
Hargrave cut, Malik Collins cut, left in free agency, Greenlaw, Ward, Hufanga, Banks, Moore, Mitchell, and Josh Dobbs. That is a team right now that's renovating what they're doing. And like they're keeping the coaching staff, renovating the rest of the thing and saying, we're going to try and rebuild this thing probably around Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey.
11 of their 22 starters from that team
gone. That's wild. That is very wild for a team that we just assumed had all the pieces for many, many years.
Yeah.
And then last year flamed out for them.
Then meanwhile, they're going to go ahead and pay Brock Purdy. So I don't know if you think that is going to be an end to their run as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up right now, let's give you cut number 9. I was going to tease out to another segment, but this is the Expressway. All content, all the time. Plus, we still have a giveaway coming up in this segment. Give me cut number 9, if you will.
Ball just went out of bounds, and they kept it.
And Flag just drove it about 40 feet and slammed it home with two hands.
Now, specifically, I wanted to talk about that dunk and the granny shot as we try to get you to love and care about college basketball. Would you like to start with Cooper Flagg's foul-mouthed parents or...
Let's give something away!
I did not know that was going to happen. 877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Now!
We'll win a pair of tickets to go see the Fray when they come to the Southside Ballroom on Friday, July 25th. You can go buy tickets or you can win them for free right now. Caller number 10, 877-881-1053. Do you want to start with the granny shot or Cooper Flagg's foul mouth parents?
You know what? I do like, let's go with Cooper Flagg's foul mouth parents.
All right. So Cooper Flagg made that dunk and his mom, and I believe dad as well.
This is against UNC?
Yes. Okay. So this was just from this past Saturday. They were doing the pat on their head and they were saying, you dunked it on their effing head.
Okay.
And so... some people might have thought it was somewhat aggressive. However, there's a further quote that said, it was being so proud of your kid and also an F you to the entire Carolina fan base for being classless a-holes. If you're a UNC fan and didn't like it, tough. And then she put the poop emoji. So the accusation.
I like that.
And so some people were like, come on, dude, have some class. Other people were like, hell yeah, I would support my kid just like that. And she kind of like expanded on it and said, I realize it wasn't my best look. But if you had heard and seen all of the things that North Carolina fans were allegedly saying and doing to them, then you might respond in that same way.
I do go back to Scalabrine's story about Cooper Flagg and how he showed up in the toughest environment. Scalabrine thinks that his gym is the toughest environment because they incubate that kind of environment. So whenever he walked in and he started dunking on them, then Scalabrine stood up and was like, I told y'all I was bringing somebody that could beat all y'all. And his parents were there. They were driving him everywhere. They were like, look, one of my favorite coaches of all time that we covered said he told his team, I'll take you anywhere in the world you want to compete. I just need you to make sure that you give me maximum effort whenever you're there.
Okay.
I want to put you up against the best in the world. And that's what it seems like Cooper Flagg's parents were like whenever they realized he had a skill set. This little story, though, Kevin, it brought something to mind because Michigan and Michigan State went at each other.
Yes, they did.
Over the weekend, too. And so I was kind of curious from you, what are the rivalries heading into these conference championships and maybe even the NCAA tournament we should keep an eye out on?
And see, it's a really good question. Unfortunately, the answer I'm going to tell you is you don't usually get to see them come to fruition. Now, about, 3 years ago, in when they just canceled the Final Four instead of having the Duke-North Carolina game, don't look it up. Don't worry about what happened in that game. Don't worry about how many times Jesse Hawley called and FaceTimed me. Don't worry about any of that. But that the point is, that was the first time Duke and North Carolina had ever played
okay.
in the tournament. So the downside of this is, while there are all kinds of rivalries, you'll probably get those this week in the conference tournament. Like, if you look at the grouping of Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Florida, it feels like those teams are ready to go to war in the SEC tournament. So if you're concerned about the rivalries, Corey, I would argue, man, this is the week for you. I think the West Coast Conference has their final tonight, and then tomorrow you start to see a lot of the bigger conference tournaments really get going in full effect. And so this is a great week if you want to jump into college basketball and you're in it for the rivalries, because I think you'll have an opportunity to maybe see, you could maybe see Duke and North Carolina.
Yeah.
There's a good chance you could see Michigan, Michigan State. There's a good chance you could see Auburn and Alabama.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like Auburn, Alabama is setting up for one of those,
yes.
and Florida being in the mix, setting up for those really fun things.
And the fact that they're all so good
yeah.
is what makes it incredible.
And that's the thing, I guess, over the last few years, I mean, last several years, Kevin, it's been difficult to know, aside from Duke, who's really good.
Sure.
You know, everybody just kind of pencils Duke in, and then you're kind of like, all right, who is it from there on? And so those things haven't stayed consistent, again, because not a lot of these guys are staying in there in college very long.
And you've seen Kansas has had plenty of struggles this year. Kentucky's going to be fine. They'll be in the tournament. But, man, they have had a roller coaster on their way here.
Give me some drama, NCAA tournament.
Okay. For that, I take you to Wofford. And their big man, Kyler Filewich. Did you know that he does free throws granny shot style?
I did. I saw this.
Is this your team now?
No.
Oh.
However,
it's a cool shot.
It is, and it works.
It does.
Does he shoot anything else like that, or is it just free throws?
I think it's just free throws.
Can you imagine him mid-court, and he's like, I got to put one in for mid-court.
But that at least makes more sense to me, because I was imagining, like, he made it through the paint, and then he stopped and, like, threw the ball up from his hips.
Like a seven-year-old?
Yeah.
But this is what this brought to my mind. What other things in sports nobody uses because, even though they work? Like bunting in baseball is something that we don't do anymore, even though it does work for the thing that you're trying to manufacture.
I'll tell you something, and this is in basketball, that has driven me crazy forever. I've only seen people do it like 2 times, and I don't understand it. You're winning by, let's say, 2 or 3 points. The difference between the shot clock and the game clock is 4 seconds, maybe 3 seconds. And they're like, your opposition's like, we're going to play the best defense, shut it down, blah, blah, blah. No, stupid. Take your ridiculously high-arcing shot right before the shot clock goes off and just fire it up there. It'll take time off the clock. Also, if you're good enough.
You're saying hit the ceiling?
Yes, no, well, look, presumably you would like to hit the rim. Because if you can hit the rim, it's not only is that going to take up time, it's going to take up even more time to get the giant rebound that's going to fly off the rim. I don't understand why teams haven't tried to do that more often. Maybe you're just going to try to not turn the ball over or get fouled. But if you can high arc that shot right when the shot clock goes off and hit the rim, it's game over. You can play the best defense you've ever seen in your life. Guess what? Good job. You got the rebound. Big fat no time left on the clock.
From the 4214, they don't use the spitball anymore. That's true. From the 817, bumpers in bowling and a bridge in pool. You're right about that, man. Bumpers and bowling makes life so much easier when you have kids.
Are you to the age, or did you get big enough where you didn't need to use the bridge anymore out of like strict necessity of I can't reach that?
Yes, but I just kind of thought it was cool. So I was like, I'm gonna use it anyway. Just because like I can either stretch my whole body out or I can use this tool that I know is gonna help me effectively. It's gonna help me effectively do this thing. Adrian's parents had a pool table in their house when we were in high school. So I spent a lot of time using the pool cues and stuff.
Why did you just slow down and say it like that?
I couldn't remember the rest of the story.
Okay. By the way, I'm trying to be much more polite when I respond to people.
I think he did say it's going to hit the rim.
Yeah. And so
this, yeah, I'm pretty sure he said that.
This is a text. This is the way I hear it, and I'll tell you how I responded. 817. Has hit the rim, dumbass. Or it goes back to be the difference. My response? Literally what I just said. Thanks for listening. And it's much nicer than in getting engaged in some unproductive response. True. And I do appreciate people listening sometimes. Maybe less name calling. Just a thought.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
Dumbass.
It's, oh man, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Dude, I stand by my statement. GMs at college are the biggest deal in the world next to The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.